This is Rupert Evershed reading my monthly article for the Hearts Advertiser. There is a restlessness about these last days of summer. The air is heavy with moisture and heat, and a fickle breeze frisks and buffets the drying grasses and leaves. Ragged butterflies waft and fall on the whim of the gusts, seeking the last sunlight, sipping the last nectar. The sun is a yellow coin behind the heat haze, the sky a thinning grey, promising blue but issuing half-hearted but heavy spatters of rain. It is as if the weather is caught in indecision, awaiting clarity on the brink of another season. Autumn beckons, and this perceived restlessness suits the shifting of the seasons very well. For all around us a great movement is underway, the migration of thousands of birds south for the winter. Some are making a return journey, but many will be the new fledglings of this year's broods. If you have visited the local lake or one of the many gravel pits around St Albans recently, you may have noticed the growing number of ducks, the build-up of gulls, and the insect-hunting flocks of swallows and martins, all signs that birds are on the move. However, for much of the time, this movement is almost imperceptible, occurring at night, quietly, and with no great announcement. Unless you live on the coast, where birds such as swallows amass on telephone wires and in reedbed roosts, you are unlikely to notice the moment of departure. There are no big send-offs with fond farewells, and darkness often shrouds the leaving. Instead, a sudden realisation of emptiness dawns, where before there was activity, and alerts you that the summer is over and another season is past. Looking up at the skies over St Albans now, the swifts have gone. Although only with us a short while, it is as if a slice of sky has been slid away, taking them with it, with their manic flight and screaming pursuits. That slice is now over mainland Europe and headed for Africa, but to us it is a slice of summer that stole away when we weren't looking. Standing in the garden early one morning this week, I witnessed this stealth-like migration firsthand. The sun was just rising to dapple the tops of the silver birches along our fence line, and I noticed a rustling in the treetops. There was only the faintest breeze, and yet the birch leaves quivered as if possessed by some magic. I heard them first and then began to see them, a tiny contingent of warblers moving through the birches, snapping at insects like a secretive army of Wudang warriors. Along with some blue tits and chiffchaffs, I counted four willow warblers, all singing very quietly to themselves their beautiful warbled cascade. These tiny leaf warblers are heralds of the spring when in full song in March, but now they are feeding and leaving quietly, bound for Africa. The fact that they seek winter sun is not hard to understand, but what has proved much more difficult is to work out exactly how they manage this phenomenal navigation across the globe. Willow warblers are a case in point, finding their way back to not just the same breeding site every year, but possibly even arriving to alight on the same twig they sang from last year. According to recent research, it really is rocket science, or at least something like that. It seems that birds' eyes may well contain a kind of chemical compass that is able to respond to a bird's surroundings at an atomic level. This quantum entanglement may enable birds to see the Earth's magnetic field, giving them a map of pinpoint accuracy. Research goes on, but it is clear that migration is one of nature's greatest feats. Along with this greater understanding, the increased interest in bird migration has begun to benefit conservation efforts. Discovering where birds actually go once they've left our shores could be a key to finding out what challenges they face en route and at their final destination, and why in particular so many species return in decreasing numbers each year. This spring I observed a newly arrived willow warbler singing from the same bush it had done the previous year. Given the findings of research, in all probability it was the same bird. And hopefully, come the end of March next year, he'll be back in full song, followed by all his fellow travellers. But first he must undertake an extraordinary journey to southern Africa, quietly slipping through English gardens before crossing the sea, and making his way along valleys and rivers, over mountains and deserts, until he reaches his winter home. Good luck, little bird.